This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show for you guys today. It's a Thursday, so we'll dive into the PJ Pick 5. I'll give out my 5 favorite college football and NFL bets of the week. We'll also look at some player props for Week 9 in the NFL as well. Matt Horner going to join us later on in the show for Model Making Money, give out some of his favorite bets for the weekend, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Write it into the chat. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show, over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Talk some college football, though. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Caroline Fenton joins us. Give her a follow on X at CarolineFenton1. Does great stuff for Yahoo Sports and college sports for SiriusXM as well. Caroline, another one of these heavyweight matchups on Saturday with Ohio State traveling to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. We know the Buckeyes have dominated this matchup the last 10 years. They're 9-1 against Penn State. What do you think happens on Saturday in State College? Who do you like?
I feel like we're getting so spoiled as college football fans because every single week we get a, you know, this is the matchup of the century, a battle of the heavyweights. Like, we get one every single week. This is just the matchup du jour. I have two major questions as far as this matchup is concerned, and it could make massive swings one way or another. The first question, which I think is the question to ask, is which quarterback is Penn State going with? Drew Aller got banged up last week against Wisconsin, and then backup Bo Pribula came in, and he was electric. Like, he added another dynamic to this offense that we don't necessarily see with Drew Aller, that Bo Pribula was so good on the ground and extending plays with his legs. So the question is Drew Aller healthy enough to go? And if he is healthy enough to go, who does James Franklin go with? He's not going to tell us. As long as he possibly can stretch this, you know, quarterback question out, he's going to stretch it out. It's an obvious tactical advantage for Penn State. But either way, Ohio State is going to be forced to prepare for two different quarterbacks. And when you only have a week to prepare, spending as much time as possible on one quarterback or the other, obvious advantage for Penn State. The other question that I have about this matchup is, how healthy is Ohio State's offensive line? Obviously, their starting left tackle, Josh Simmons, got injured against Oregon. He's out for the season. Then Mikalski came in at left tackle against Nebraska. He left that game early. And even when he did play in that game, he didn't play very well. And it was very obvious in the run game. Ohio State only ran for 60-something yards. That's the lowest clip that Ohio State has run for by a long shot all season long. So how healthy is the offensive line? And can the offensive line run block this week? They weren't able to last week. And Will Howard took the game in his hands, and he was able to beat Nebraska just narrowly, but he was able to do enough with with his arm through the air to take down Nebraska. If Will Howard has to carry a brunt of the offensive load this week against this Penn State defense, against Abdul Carter, who has made their lives miserable, has made offensive lines' lives difficult and miserable all season long, I don't know how much I can really trust Will Howard in this style of offense to be sustainable against a defense like Penn State. So I like Penn State plus 3.5. It's at home. You know, Big Noon Kickoff is there. College Game Day is there. Kamala Harris is there. Donald Trump is there. Like, everyone in America, it feels like, is going to be in State College this weekend. I like Penn State to keep it close, but I do feel like I feel like Ohio State's going to win this one because they know what's at stake here. They know that the margin for error to get into the college football playoff is incredibly thin. And dropping their second game this season, their college football playoff hopes wouldn't be over. But for a team that was expected to win the national championship this year to lose two games at the beginning of November, like that's would be a hard pill to swallow. So I like Ohio State to win this one, but I like Penn State to keep it close.
What about in Fayetteville coming up on Saturday? Number 19, Ole Miss. Caroline, it's a long shot that they're going to make the playoff. They got Georgia next week. That's obviously going to be a really tough game, but they got to take care of business this week against Arkansas, who's played a really difficult schedule. We saw them had a strong performance against A&M. They upset Tennessee as well. What do you think happens between these two with Ole Miss favored by 7?
This is a tricky one because I think 11 a.m. games in Fayetteville have trap game written all over it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in Arkansas early in the morning. There's a little bit of a chill in the air. I don't know what it is, but good teams play really close against Arkansas in Fayetteville, and it always happens at the 11 a.m. or the noon kickoffs. Ole Miss against Oklahoma last week didn't look great. And in the second half, they figured things out. But Ole Miss still really struggled to run the football. Now, granted, Oklahoma has a really stout defensive front, but I don't think that Ole Miss can win football games consistently without getting the ground game going. It's something that, shockingly enough, has been a little bit difficult for them to do on a consistent basis. Now, Ole Miss's defensive front, I mean, they sacked the quarterback 10 times against Oklahoma last week. Like, that defensive front, between Princely Umamielen and Walter Nolan, that entire front seven for Ole Miss is going to be, you know, that's going to be what wins Ole Miss football games. Arkansas, on the other hand, Talen Green had 6 touchdowns last week. Mm-hmm. 6 touchdowns. I mean, granted, it's against Mississippi State, who I think we can all agree is, if they're not the worst team in the SEC, they're definitely bottom 2 or bottom 3 in the conference. So take that at least with a little bit of a grain of salt. But this Arkansas offense has the ability to be incredibly boom or bust. They struggled against LSU. They couldn't run the football against LSU. And then they turn around and put up a performance against Mississippi State where they put up almost 700 yards of offense. I like Ole Miss to win this one. It's going to be tough and it's going to be difficult in an environment like that. I think this is still an Arkansas fan base that is incredibly bought in and incredibly energized based off of what they saw last week against Mississippi State. But all the way around, I just think Ole Miss has better talent and they're more physical at the lines of scrimmage.
Another game that feels trappy in the SEC is this Texas A&M and South Carolina game. A&M gets the huge win against LSU. Mm-hmm. Feels like everybody's patting them on the back. They're congratulating them on the playoff SEC championship game. And now they got to travel to Columbia, Caroline, and take on the Gamecocks. They're only favored by 2.5 points. What do you think happens in Columbia on Saturday?
Yeah, seeing that opening spread and seeing how it really hasn't shifted is a bit of a red flag for me as far as Texas A&M is concerned. I mean, Texas A&M undefeated in the SEC. They've only gotten better week over week. Their only loss is to a really good Notre Dame team. And you're only favored by 2.5 against a South Carolina team that hasn't looked great on a consistent basis. I always have to ask, like, what does Vegas know that we don't? Sometimes Vegas doesn't know anything. Sometimes Vegas is just flat out wrong. But I think in this matchup, first of all, it's a night game at Williams-Brice Stadium. Willie B does not get the credit that it deserves for being a force multiplier kind of environment in the SEC and in college football. Aaron Murray, quarterback at Georgia a good bit ago, talks about how Williams-Brice is one of his least favorite places to play because once Sandstorm gets going, it is impossible to hear in that stadium. I think that's a factor here. It's another matchup here, like Penn State, Ohio State, where there's a question about who the starting quarterback is going to be. For Texas A&M, is it going to be Connor Wigman, who started the season, who started the game against Missouri and Mississippi State and LSU, or is it going to be the young gun Marcel Reed, who came in the third quarter against LSU, and that really was the pivotal factor in that game. Once Marcel Reed came in, LSU's defense had zero answers for what Marcel Reed wanted to do. So I have to believe that Marcel Reed is going to get the nod here. But I'm going to take South Carolina plus 2.5. I'm going to take South Carolina to win. And it's for a few reasons. One, Texas A&M does not look like the same team away from Kyle Field. Two, the games that Texas A&M has been dominant in some of the games that they have won, it has come because the defense was thrown off guard by a quarterback, either whoever was the starting quarterback or a quarterback change. That game against Missouri, Texas A&M, a dominant win over a good, not great Missouri team. Eli Drinkwitz talked all week about how they expected to see Marcel Reed. Well, Connor Wigman got that start. Missouri's defense was not prepared to see Connor Wigman. LSU's defense was prepared to see Connor Wigman, and they shut him down for a good part of the first half. They were not prepared for Marcel Reed to come into the third quarter, and that was all the difference. South Carolina's defense, who I think we need to start talking about their defensive front being one of the best in the country with Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart and Tonka Hemingway, they have a full week to prepare for Marcel Reed, a young guy and an experienced guy on the road in a really raucous environment in a game with massive stakes. I think that South Carolina's defensive front is going to be able to rattle Marcel Reed a bit. The difference here, and what I think is going to be difficult for South Carolina, two keys for South Carolina. Don't turn the ball over. Their young quarterback, Lenora Sellers, has thrown death picks in several of the games that they have lost. The second thing, Shane Beamer, don't get cute. Like, don't get too cute on special teams. Don't fake punt on fourth down. That's what cost them against Ole Miss. If South Carolina can hold on to the football and that defensive front can do what it does best, get after the quarterback and stop the run, I think South Carolina is going to win this game.
I love it. It's my favorite bet of the week, Caroline. South Carolina, I'm right there with you. Everything you said, I think that was spot on analysis. Caroline Fenton joining us here on Senate, and give her a follow on X at Caroline Fenton 1, Yahoo Sports, and College Sports for Sirius XM as well. Caroline, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate y'all. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you as well. All right, guys, let's get to the PJ Pick 5 now in college football. And we will start with South Carolina. They are my favorite bet of the week in week 10, plus 2.5 against Texas A&M. Caroline did a great job of breaking down that game. We've been talking about this game all week. For me, again, another part of the handicap is just keep in mind, guys, in college football, this season, last season, you see this all the time. These are 19, 20-year-old kids, the ups and downs of seasons. You come off of a huge win, that letdown game the following week. What's that going to look like? We saw Notre Dame, after their big win against A&M, have a letdown the following week against Northern Illinois. We saw Bama have a big win against Georgia. Next week, follow it with a letdown game against Vanderbilt. A&M better be careful. They had a really nice win against LSU. South Carolina's coming off of a bye. As Caroline mentioned, South Carolina is going to be prepared for both quarterbacks in this game. Williams-Brice is a really tough place to play at night. There's a reason this line opened at 3.5. It's gone down to 2.5, and it hasn't gone back up to 3. South Carolina's the right side. I think they win it outright. Upset. Give me the Gamecocks. Plus 2.5. I also like SMU minus 7.5 against Pittsburgh as well. Been talking about this game, monster game in the ACC. Both of these teams are undefeated in ACC play. The difference is that SMU is a real team. Pittsburgh is a fraud. They haven't played anybody yet. Their schedule is going to start to ramp up. They get SMU, they get Clemson coming up in a couple weeks. Pitt's just been feasting off of bad quarterbacks and turnovers, and it's just been one of those kind of teams. Now they go up against by far the best team they're going to see all year in SMU, who's coming off a three-game road trip. They won all three of those games. Their last game against Duke on Saturday, they lost the turnover battle 6-0 in that game and still managed to win. How many teams can do that? SMU's good. Their only loss this season was to BYU, who's undefeated this year in the Big 12. Give me the Mustangs, minus 7.5. Number three, we'll go with the Moneyline Parlay that I really like. Ohio State and Ole Miss both to win on Saturday. I don't want to lay the 3.5 with Ohio State, and I don't want to lay the 7 with Ole Miss, but I like both of these teams to win on Saturday. I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. Now, that doesn't mean that Penn State's not going to give them a game, and that doesn't mean that it's not going to be close and come down to the fourth quarter, but I like Ohio State to find a way to win. James Franklin's 1-9 against Ohio State for a reason. The Buckeyes are just better than Penn State. And with the kind of the quarterback situation with Penn State, whether it's Aller who goes, who's not 100%, or Bro Pirula, give me Ohio State. And then give me Ole Miss as well. Yes, it feels a little trappy. Early kick at Arkansas. Got to be careful. But Ole Miss is focused because they know they cannot afford to lose a game the rest of the season. Even though they got George on deck, you got to take care of business at Arkansas. I think they do that. So we'll take Ohio State and Ole Miss moneyline parlay at +124. Give me Air Force +22.5 against Army on Saturday. Now, Army's another one of these undefeated teams that haven't played anybody yet this season. They got a very good offense, and them and Indiana are the only two teams this season in college football that have not trailed at any point this season. And they might not trail on Saturday either against Air Force, but you've had to go back 15 years to find the last time in this rivalry game where it's been decided by three or more touchdowns. Obviously, the familiarity with both of these schools, both running the wishbone, both wanting to play lower scoring games. The under has hit 80% of the time in the last 44 games between military academy teams. I like Air Force +22.5, just too many points. And then finally, give me Louisville +10.5 against Clemson. Now, Clemson's a team that's really been flying under the radar. We kind of all left them for dead after that loss to Georgia, thinking it would be the same old Clemson, same old Cade Klubnik. He's been great, and Clemson's been great ever since then. But again, quality of competition has not been solid. If you know anything about college football and you know anything about Louisville head coach Jeff Brohm, he is awesome as an underdog, especially when he goes up against top 10 teams and especially when he's on the road. Louisville's going to be prepared. They're going to play well in this game. I think they keep it close. Give me the Ville +10.5 against Clemson. Those are my five favorite bets in college football this week. South Carolina, SMU, Ohio State, Ole Miss moneyline parlay, Air Force, and Louisville. All right, let's get to the NFL now. A little PJ pick five in the NFL. We talked about earlier in the week, I love the Broncos +9 against the Ravens, guys. I mean, it's crazy to me just seeing that the games that the Ravens have lost in the regular season the last 2 years when Lamar's been quarterback have all been the same. Only three things you look for when you want to fade the Ravens is the game at 1 p.m., are they playing an AFC team, and are they favorites by 4 points or more? If those three things are true, five of the last six regular season losses that the Ravens have suffered have been when those three things align, and they're aligning again on Sunday going up against Denver, who they're favored by 9 points against. Now, obviously, Bo Nix is a rookie quarterback. John Harbaugh in his career and the Ravens have feasted on rookie quarterbacks, but this defense is probably the worst that Harbaugh's had since he's been in Baltimore. They can't cover anybody. I expect Bo Nix to make some plays on offense, and Denver, as we know, has got a really good defense. Keep in mind, too, the Ravens have the Bengals upcoming next Thursday, possibly a little bit of look ahead. I'll take Denver +9. Give me the Arizona Cardinals on the money line against the Chicago Bears. You guys want a stat of the week? Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, is 3-17 straight up in his career on the road as Bears head coach. 3-17. It gets even better, though, because all three of those wins have come during the weekday. Two on Monday night and one on Thursday night. Matt Eberflus, as Bears head coach, has yet to win a game on the road on a Sunday. That it seems impossible, but it's the truth. He hasn't done it yet, and they're going up against an Arizona team who's playing really good football. Arizona's had maybe the hardest schedule in the NFL. They've had no cupcakes so far. They've had to play good team after good team after good team. Meanwhile, Chicago has had one of the easiest schedules, and they're coming off as tough of a loss as you can possibly suffer with all this Tyreek Stevenson stuff and the way that Eberflus is talking to the press. Chicago's a disaster. Arizona, I like the way that they're trending. And until Eberflus proves to me that he can win a game on the road as a head coach in the NFL, there's no way I'm taking the Bears in a pick 'em. Give me Arizona on the money line. Also, give me the Packers +3.5 against the Detroit Lions. Now, what makes this game tough to bet on is obviously we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And depending on whether it's Willis or whether it's Love, the line is going to move. If it's Malik Willis, this probably gets to 4.5, 5. If it's Jordan Love, this probably goes down to 2, 1.5. But I'll take the Lions over the field goal in a divisional game. I expect it to be low scoring. Two reasons I love this game. The first one is we're getting Jared Goff outdoors. I know it's talked about a lot, but for good reason, because Goff indoors and in a dome is way different than Jared Goff outdoors. And you look at how he's played in divisional games on the road in Chicago and Green Bay the last couple years, what he was like with the Rams when he had to go outdoors. He has not been good in those situations. Also, Matt LaFleur is an underdog, 17-4 against the spread as a dog of 3 or more points. He is excellent as an underdog, divisional game. Give me Green Bay, regardless of if it's Love or Willis. I'll take them, +3.5. Also, give me the Chargers on the money line against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns, obviously, now with Jameis Winston, feel a lot like they did with Joe Flacco last year when he took over, and everybody was loving the QB for the Browns, and kind of lifted up the team. It lifted up the city. Jameis, though, is a high-variance quarterback. You're going to get a lot of good plays from him. You're going to get some deep shots. You're going to get some touchdowns, but you're also going to get some turnover-worthy throws. The Chargers have been one of the best defenses in the NFL this year. The Ravens must have dropped like 3 or 4 interceptions on Sunday. Certainly Kyle Hamilton's at the end could have sealed the game. Chargers are going to catch those passes. Also, the Chargers are going to run the football. Derrick Henry had 6.6 yards per carry on Sunday, but the Ravens only gave him 11 carries. Dobbins is going to be fed by Jim Harbaugh. I like the makeup of this Chargers team going up against Cleveland. I'll take them on the money line. And then finally, give me Minnesota, -5.5 against the Colts. I think Indianapolis is going to be a trendy dog this week because Flacco is now into the starting lineup, but I like Brian Flores and his defense going up against Flacco. Feels like a little bit of a disaster waiting to happen to me. And I also like the message that Minnesota's front office sent to their team this week. They lost their best offensive lineman in Christian Darrisaw. What did they do? They went out and they traded for Cam Robinson at left tackle. This front office believes in this team. They think they have something there. They want them to keep pushing forward. Anything under a touchdown, I like Minnesota. I'll lay the 5.5 with them on Sunday. All right, let's look at some player props that I like in week 9 in the NFL. We will start. I like this one quite a bit. Derrick Henry's longest rush over 17.5 yards against the Broncos. This line is way too short. You take away week 1 against the Chiefs, when obviously that was Derrick's first game with the Ravens and they were still trying to figure out how to integrate him in the offense. Ever since then, week 2 up until last week against the Cleveland Browns, in every single game, Derrick Henry has had a rush for at least 27 yards. We only need him to get 18 on Sunday against Denver. Now, the Broncos do have a pretty good defense. The Ravens have only ran Derrick 11 and 14 times the last 2 games, after before that, a stretch of running him more than 20 times. So they were limiting his workload a little bit. I think they give him some more carries on Sunday. I'll take Derrick Henry's longest rush over 17.5 yards. I like Jared Goff to throw an interception on Sunday at +115 against the Packers. Goff has done a great job of taking care of the football this season, but again, every game that he has played so far this year has been indoors. You get him outdoors against a good Packers defense. He threw an interception against them last year. He threw an interception against the Bears outdoors last year. It's just Goff outside, folks. I'll take the interception at +115. Give me Matthew Stafford over 241.5 passing yards for the Rams against the Seahawks. Matt Stafford, in his career, when Sean McVay and Stafford have gone up against Seattle, they've played 2 games in Seattle. Stafford's thrown for 365 yards, and he's thrown for 334 passing yards. Now, obviously, Mike McDonald takes over, who was the Ravens' defensive coordinator last year. The toughest matchup that Mike McDonald and the Ravens had last year was when they went up against Stafford and McVay. The Rams put up 31 points on him, and Stafford threw for 294 in that game. So McVay and Stafford had great success against McDonald last year. The Seahawks defense has been struggling. Stafford's got great history in Seattle. I'll go over 241.5 passing yards for Matthew Stafford. Also, give me Bijan Robinson over 15.5 attempts against Dallas. When you look at the Falcons' schedule this year in non-divisional games, 3 of the 4 games this year, Bijan has had 16 or more carries in those games. Go up next against Dallas, who's got all those injuries to their defensive line. They have not been good against the run this year. I'll go Bijan over 15.5 rushing attempts. And give me Khalil Shakir for the Bills over 4.5 receptions against the Miami Dolphins. He has emerged as Josh Allen's #1 guy. 7 receptions and 9 in his last 2 games. And Miami loves giving up the short intermediate throws. That's where Shakir excels. I will go over 4.5 receptions for Khalil Shakir. All right, promo from our friends at BetMGM. We obviously got a Thursday night football game tonight with the Jets and the Texans, and we've all had our first touchdown bet vultured or called back before with BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance. We're giving you a second chance to at first touchdown bets this season. You can place any first touchdown score wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, you get your entire stake back in cash, no opt-in required. I would go chalky tonight with Joe Mixon, first touchdown at plus 400. How does it work? You place a pregame straight first touchdown score bet in any NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown in the game, you win your wager as normal. If your player scores the second touchdown in the game, you'll get your stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or reward token is ineligible for the campaign. All right, let's get to model making money now. Check in with Matt Horner, who joins us every Thursday. Find out what his favorite plays are for the weekend. Matt, before we get into some of your favorite plays, what is the BetQL model like for us tonight?
Yeah, so we're going to go to the ice tonight. We're going to take the Edmonton Oilers plus 110 on the money line going up against the Nashville Predators. They're on the road. The model thinks they should be minus 121 favorites here instead of getting plus money, so that's going to spark a five-star play. Clearly, the model still likes this, even with Connor McDavid out for the foreseeable future. I think he's supposed to be out like 2 to 3 weeks or so, but still thinks they're the better team and shouldn't be getting plus money even on the road. So we're going to go with the Oilers on the money line.
All right, very good. Matt, what about in the NBA tonight? Anything that you like? Not too big of a slate, but anything that sticks out to you?
Yeah, really small slate. Right now, I'm looking at the under 232 in the Bucks and the Grizzlies game. 88% of the handle is on the over in that game. I mean, it makes sense. The Grizzlies are a really fast-paced team, but they did just play last night, so maybe some tired legs there. And I always like fading games where an overwhelming amount of the money is on one side there. Also looking at the Rockets +6.5 against the Dallas Mavericks. Again, same thing. Only 12% of the handle is on the Rockets. Nobody believes in them. Maybe they can keep it within the number. And if you guys want to bet NBA props, give our guy Dan Karpuk a follow because he is absolutely incredible at NBA props. It's ridiculous what the guy's doing. He just generates cash.
He sure does. Dan is truly one of the best at NBA player props. Good shout there. Matt, what about the NFL? You've been on a great ride in the NFL. What do you like this week?
Yeah, so I already gave out the Jets for tonight's game, which is quite scary, honestly. I mean, it looks like a trap, but which way is the trap going to go? Giants +4 this weekend going up against the Commanders is another one of my bets. Nobody's going to want to bet the Giants. I mean, 86% of the handle is on the Commanders. After that, miraculous Hail Mary against my Chicago Bears, you know, the bandwagon just keeps growing for them. Giants 4 points here. Everybody's going to be laying it with the Commandos, so I'm going to go with the Giants +4. And I don't think the Bengals should be laying 7 points against any team in the NFL, like maybe not even the Carolina Panthers. They played them earlier this year. Raiders +7 is going to be a bet for me. The Bengals are getting 75% of the handle, and there's no way I'm laying 7 points with the Cincinnati Bengals the way they're playing. So give me the Raiders +7 in the NFL this week.
Very good. What about college football, Matt? Anything that you like?
Yeah, something stuck out to me. Auburn laying a touchdown against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is an extremely popular underdog. We know how, you know, they beat Alabama. They've been very popular in the market because of how well they've played this year. Nobody has expected them to. Auburn, a team that everyone hates. They think the program is going down the drain, but they're laying 7 points here at home and 64% of the handle on the Commodores, the underdog. I'm going to lay it with the Auburn Tigers. Minnesota -2.5 as well against the Illinois Fighting Illini. I've talked about before how I think Illinois is an extremely overrated team that has gotten very lucky this year on multiple occasions. They got crushed by Oregon. They got exposed there. And now they are underdogs at home to Minnesota. Again, 60% of the handle is on the dog. Everybody believes in Illinois. I don't. I'm going to take the Golden Gophers here under a field goal and get the win.
Very good. Great stuff as always. Matt Horner joining us on Model Making Money. Matt, good luck this weekend, and we will talk again next week.
Sure. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis, spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL. BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. B-Mills, I see you got some comments in the chat for us. PJ, we get another gift here this weekend. Flacco over 34.5 passing attempts. That will at least be a two-unit play for me. We know Flacco loves to chuck it. Jameis Winston as well. Honestly, B-Mills, you know, you got to play those auto every single week. I do worry a little bit, though, because against the Flores defense, running the ball has been the way to attack that. I do wonder if the Colts lean on Jonathan Taylor a little bit. Then in the Browns game, they are calling for some weather. They're calling for some wind, some rain. We know they love chucking with Jameis. Obviously, I wouldn't blame you if you bet over on either guy. But this week, I think the matchups are a little bit interesting. As for picks for tonight and for this weekend, Joe Mixon over 20.5 rushing attempts is going to be my prop lock. No Nico Collins, no Stephon Diggs. It's a short week. Jets run defense hasn't been all that great this season, and Mixon has been awesome for Houston. I think they feed him a lot. Over 20.5 a rushing attempts for Joe Mixon. Dog of the day, South Carolina, folks. I think they win outright on Saturday against Texas A&M. And then my best bet for tonight, Texans team total under at 20.5 points. Again, because Stroud and the Texans are without their top two receivers and Joe Mixon's been so good, this is going to be one of those games where I think the Texans are running the ball quite a bit. I think the Jets are going to struggle to score as well. I like the under in the game, but I really like the Texans team total under at 20.5. Thanks again to Caroline Fenton and Matt Horner for joining us today on Send It In. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Happy Halloween, and we will see you on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.